Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Conscious Empowerment with Kathleen, the show dedicated to empowering lives everywhere by bringing you stories, ideas, and inspiration to help each of us make our world a better place. And if you wish to participate during today's show or have questions for our guests, please log into the chat room at projectempowerment.info, or you're welcome to call and submit questions at 347-945-5441. And today's guest of Project Empowerment, I'm super excited to have on this author, Kim Ling, discuss his new book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, Joining the Conversation to Improve Behavior, and with your animals. So if you're a pet lover, you probably run into questions like, why is my cat suddenly chomping in the litter box? Why is my dog barking incessantly? Why doesn't my dog or cat listen to me when I ask them to do something? I know, go figure that, right? So pet owners want to know how to communicate effectively with their pets to understand their individual wants and needs. They also want to share their wants and needs with their pets, so if they can only talk to them, like to talk to each other. The Kim Ling demonstrates this in his new book, on how to effectively communicate with animals. He's a nationally syndicated radio host, animal communicator, and trainer, created Wagging Tails Consulting Practice and discovering his talking to animals' abilities. He often works with animal rescue organizations and lives in Cummings, Georgia. You can also visit his website at talkingwithdogsandcats.com, and I have this up at my website. And so thank you so much for joining us today, Tim. I really appreciate you taking time to be on my show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's. I was reading into your book. Now, this is, I'm going to confess, I've never read anything about how to talk to animals, how to communicate with animals. So this, for me, was like all new. I mean, you like I've seen Dr. Dolittle when I was a kid and those types of things, but I never actually read anything about how this even all works. So I thank you for writing your work, by the way. It was very helpful for me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. You know, it's all a learning experience. Even after I've been doing this for well over a decade, there's new things I'm learning from the animals especially and definitely from people. And so we're out there just trying to, you know, I'm trying to get the message out there and give you some new insights and new ways to communicate and bond and some ways to help improve those behaviors if there's challenges going on.
Right, right. And, you know, and I just brought up a few of the basic examples. I'm sure there's a lot of pet owners out there that I can only imagine the stories that you've got. I mean, besides the examples that you shared in your book. So please jump in with any, you know, ideas or suggestions for the most common struggles that pet owners could have with their animals. But before we dive into that, I'd really love for you to share your background a little bit. Like, how on earth did you even get involved with this? How did you start working with animals? What was it that kind of launched this whole path for you as far as the animal communication and doing this as a profession?
Yeah, you know, it was quite coincidental. You know, I think when we're all on this journey together and we're all here to try to find our purpose, and sometimes when you least expect it, your purpose appears in front of you and you have the option to either try to ignore it, which you can't because it'll continue to pop its head up, or you embrace it and see what you can do with it. So my story basically is back in 2004, you know, before I started working with animals full time. Of course, we've had animals in our life. My wife and I have had animals. You know, she's a regular Ellie Mae Clampett of the world. There's not a critter out there she didn't like. And so, you know, we've had birds and we've had fish and we've had turtles and rabbits and dogs and cats. And, you know, the list seems to go on and on and on. So we've always loved animals, but never really, you know, I can't claim that I had this real deep knowing and knowledge and being able to communicate with them and connect with them and understand them more than at sort of the superficial level. You know, providing love, they provide me love, give them good food and shelter, enjoy them, and that was it. And I think a lot of us go through that in our lives where we just sort of scratch the surface on what our animals are really all about. Mm-hmm. And so I had spent 20 years of my life as a telecom executive. I worked hard. It was the first in my family to go to college. I paid my way through college and got out and started a 20-year career in telecom where I sold advanced technologies for cellular phone systems. So that was my role.
Wow.
So all these wonderful gadgets and features and applications and watching videos and live TV and streaming and downloading music and all these wonderful things that you have on your smartphones today, your cell phones, were things I was selling 20 years ago and trying to convince major corporations to spend millions of dollars on this technology in hopes that one day that the networks and the phones themselves would be able to support this. So it was really speculative type of work. But I worked with the top companies in the world, people like Microsoft, Intel, Texas Instruments, Motorola, the list, you know, goes on and on, very well-known names in the industry. Mm-hmm. And life was good. You know, I did everything that an all-American kid should do, you know, work hard, get your grade, go to school, graduate, start your family, get the big house and the car and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And in 2004, that was all going to change. There was a major shift about to happen. I really didn't even realize it at the time. During that time, February 2004 was my wife's birthday. And she had heard of an animal communicator and healer coming to town by the name of Judy Byers, the late Judy Byers. Mm-hmm. And Judy was coming to town to teach a little half-day workshop on how to open your heart and open your mind to the possibility of being able to connect with animals at a deeper level. And so Kim had heard about this and had hoped she could have the gift, find the gift, find the ways to do these skills and tools and use these things and connect with animals at a much deeper level and communicate with them. For me, honestly, it was more like, okay, well, I've got the birthday card, I've got the flowers, now I can get the gift, which is the animal communication workshop. So I just checked that off my list. I'm good for another year. Good husband.
What a good husband. I love it. I love it.
Goodness. So during this workshop, you know, we had about a dozen people in the workshop, and we all had pictures of our animals, and we were asked to have, you know, four or five questions that we knew the answers to, but nobody else did. Very simple things like, you know, where does Spot like to sleep, and what color is, you know, Junior's litter box, where's Winnie like to eat her hay, these type of things, fairly basic. And then we had some live animals there as well at the host house. And we were to learn how to breathe properly, clearing our minds with proper breaths and meditations and focus, opening our hearts and connecting, and then focusing on these pictures and focusing on the animals to see if we got anything at all, words, colors, feelings, pictures, emotions, whatever it was we received when we connected with each animal or each picture of an animal. We were to write down what we received and ask them the questions that their human companion, their owner, their person had, and see if we got any answers back. And so we went around the room after each one of these questions and each one of these animals we connected with. And lo and behold, every single time I connected with them, I got some information. I received some information. It was typically a couple of words or maybe a picture, but just some basic information. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of unique. But I had no idea if it was right, wrong, indifferent, or if it was coming from, you know, my thoughts or wanting it to happen. I had no idea where this was coming from.
Right.
And as we compared the notes and as we answered the questions, every single time, not only did I receive the information, but I received a confirmation that I was 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we had about 100 questions when it was all said and done, and every single one of them came through.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought, wow.
Well, you know, it's interesting because even though this is a gift for your wife, it sounds like it was more of a gift for you. You know,
it was, Yeah, absolutely. So it was a major shift in my life, you know, and so at that point, I thought, wow, this is cool. And then I thought, wow, this is strange. And, you know, more importantly, how is this really going to fit into my life? Because, you know, I was a telecom executive, you know, so it wasn't like I was going to go to the head of a Fortune 500 company and say, hey, you know what? If you spend like $30 million on the technology I'm offering you, I'll come by and tell you why Spot's, you know, peeing on the carpet. How's that working?
That's a nice angle.
It is a nice angle. And it may have worked well for me if the worlds were in better alignment. We're not quite there yet. Maybe some lifetime down the road we'll be in alignment where that'll be a good trade-off. But I knew those worlds weren't lined up, and I actually needed to practice. I needed to know what this gift was all about. So
yeah.
I did. I continued to work with my own animals and then later animals of friends. And then I belonged to animal healing ministry at my church, so I got a chance to work with animals there. And then later became president of a local humane society, No Shield Shelter, here in Georgia, which afforded me more and more opportunities to fine-tune this gift and sort of uncover it. And at that point, you know, really go from receiving a couple of words to multiple words and pictures and feelings and smells and tastes and colors. And most of all, most importantly, is to trust what I was receiving to be true.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's like with any gift, that's such a huge hurdle in itself, because you have to really believe that you can do this. And what I love about, you know, when I was reading your book, it isn't about just one person has a gift. Everybody can learn the basics of this and dive in even further if they feel they want to learn even more. But the beautiful thing about this is it's just the simplicity of learning how to tune in with your own pet and understand what's going on, asking them questions, talk to them like a human. You know, like I was saying in the intro, it's like, we'd like to know why Snowball is, you know, peeing or pooping on the floor. What's going on? You know, are they being naughty? Not necessarily. They're possibly upset, or that, you know, their schedule has changed, or the patterns are different during, or whatever the thing is going on. So it's like, it's about really stopping and paying attention. I mean, we expect, you know, I'm a mother, I have two children, you know, and I've read a gazillion parenting books on how to listen to your children and tune in and understand what is really going on with them and that sort of thing. And we spend all this time and attention with children that don't have the verbal communication yet. But it's almost like when I was reading your work, it's like, this reminds me of the parenting books on how to deal with toddlers and babies. And it's almost, it's not identical, but it's very similar. And with pets, it's, you can. I mean, he totally can communicate. It's like with my cat, I mean, he cracks me up. He does all sorts of funny things. And now that I've got a better understanding of what I've learned from your work, it's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now why he did whatever it was that he did. And it's been a lot more fun. And he definitely has his fun way of communicating with the family, with the boys and I. He's got a lot of patience with these two boys.
Oh, goodness. And, you know, and it's absolutely true. Your observation is spot on, and I found this over and over again. You know, we all have this gift. We're all born with this gift. You know, your mm-hmm. children, when they were very young, you know, four children go to school and are sort of taught how to think and write and do and what's acceptable in the world and use your vocal skills, you know, and your verbal communication skills. Before that's taught into them, as I call it, it's natural for them. It's natural for them to have a conversation with the cat. It's natural for them to feel things and see things and accept things around them because they know it to be true. There's nothing that has blocked them from saying, you can't think that way or you can't do that. That's not the proper way of doing things. And right. So we have to go back to sort of that inner child. We have to go back to trusting what we feel and our instincts. And, you know, in the book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, I talk about sort of, you know, the mother's instinct. We all have heard that terminology over and over, and it's absolutely true. A mother has an instinct. They know without their child saying anything to them or doing anything at that time, they know there's something going on. You know, there's mm-hmm. whether they're not feeling well or whether there's just not something's not quite right, something's not sitting with them, and you pick them up and hold them, and you find out there is a problem, or you take them to the doctor and find out, yeah, there is an underlying health problem. And, you know, and you ask the mother afterwards, well, how'd you know that? Mm-hmm. And they say, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. You know, it's a feeling. I got a vision. I got a sensation. I've got a gut feeling. You know, there's something there that told me that this is not quite right. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And what it is basically is your child communicating with you through that subconscious state, through that telepathic state that they accept and know so well, communicating with their mother, who they had the closest heart bond with. Mm-hmm. And so for our, you know, our animals, it's the same thing. We have a strong heart bond with them, a heart connection that we have with them. It's natural. It comes into play. And so we have to go back to trusting those instincts and those feelings and those sensations that we receive from our animals and trust them to be true.
Mm, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm going to probably jump ahead a little bit about language, about how to talk to the animals. It's like I'll hear this from others, like don't pee on the carpet or you're bad or don't do this or don't do that. And you actually spend some time in that on language alone with talking with pets on positive communication. Because, I mean, we don't want to talk to our own children that way. Why are we talking to our pets that way? Because they're only hearing pee on the floor. And
that's right.
And I thought, you know, I've heard that phraseology before also, you know, with other authors that I've worked with on, you know, self-help stuff. And it's like, it's the same concept with the animals. And so let's talk about that for a little bit, about positive communication. Let's say an animal is, you know, doing some naughty behavior and, you know, we're trying to decipher what's going on, whether they're upset or they're frustrated or they're scared or they're mad. What is some good positive examples of communication to help redirect any not-so-good behavior?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in the book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, as well as workshops, if you go to talkingwithdogsandcats.com, you can find out the events and workshops that I'm having. And in these workshops, one of the things I start off by saying is, you know, who wants a healthy retirement plan? Who wants a healthy portfolio when they retire? And everybody's like reluctantly raising their hands like, yeah, what? Of course, then I preface, I'm not a financial planner, so, you know, go doing investments based on this. But basically, put a plastic jar, ball jar, whatever you want. Put it in the center of the room, wherever you like to sit at. And every time you hear or every time you say a negative energy word, I want you to put a dollar in there.
Mm-hmm.
So a negative energy word is don't, not, stop. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Quit. Leave. Mm-hmm. You know, raising your voice, getting angry. Mm-hmm. Feeling the negative energy around you, all these things, every time that happens, I encourage you to put a dollar in the tip jar. Because we're bombarded with negativity and negative energy around us all the time. And it's so easy in our vocabulary to say, no, not, stop, don't want that, quit, yell, scream. It's part of our culture, part of who we are.
Right.
And what we have to do instead is get back to that positive energy and words and positive feelings around this, because when we're in a positive state of mind and we're using positive words, encouragement, praise, whether we're talking about our children, our spouses, our partners, or our animals, they always respond better to a positive energy and positive words that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get back to that state of mind. Now, with animals, they do a wonderful job of deflecting negative energy. So when you tell Spot, don't pee on the floor, he's going to deflect that don't, and he's going to say, pee on the floor. And he's not going to let you down. He's going to pee on the floor. It's going to happen over and over again until you eliminate that word don't, and you tell Spot, let's potty outside only. That'll make me happy. So we're being encouraging, and we're talking to them about that, and we're being very straightforward with what we want, and eliminating that negative energy and eliminating those negative energy words. So try it at home. You know, try just going through your life one day without saying don't stop, quit, yell, scream, whatever it may be, and see if you can get away with it. Can't, start it over and try it again.
Right, right. That's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I find this over true over and over again. And then the method, once we start implementing positive words and positive feelings and positive intentions into our conversations with our animals, we want to also, along with that, be very specific about how we're communicating with our animals. And this goes back to very similar, perhaps, how most people talk to their children. You know, a child, you can tell them this, you can yell and scream and spank and, you know, whatever it may be and talk to them. But if you're not talking to them in the right way and they don't see the benefit in it, they're going to turn around and do it over and over again.
Yes, this is so very true.
Yes. It may be while you're in the room or you may be out, you know, but it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, and it changes and morphs as they grow older. I have a teenager now, and he's a good kid, but he is such a teenager, and so it's like opened up some new challenges for me that I am working diligently on my communication skills, because he's Mr. Smarty Pants, and I have to make sure I'm, you know, I want to watch what I'm saying and modeling what I'm saying and, you know, walk on the talk, because he'll call me on my crap if I'm not walk on the line, as it were, you know, because I'm a single mom. So it's like we try to have a lot of fun despite, you know, the struggles and stuff. And so, but yeah, it's really interesting having kids and raising kids, and then the dynamics of our cat. I mean, he's a rescue. He kind of wandered into our lives about 4 years ago. And what's been fun is, like, I found the other owner actually put flyers out several weeks after he had been gone missing, quote unquote missing, and they lived just a block over. And I talked to the owner, and she goes, "Well, we kind of adopted him. He was a rescue kitty, but since I've moved out here to Washington, and he doesn't like the other cat and the other dogs, he just wants to be his own. So he basically picked us to be his new family because he didn't like sharing with the other family." So they admitted that, you know, cats just pick their people. So he roams. He's primarily lives here, but he like owns the neighborhood, as it were. And it's really funny because, like, right now he's sleeping on my bed. It's like this is his domain. But it's been so wonderful having him here because he's brought such a calm presence and a sense of peace to the boys and to I, you know, when the divorce happened and stuff. So it was really, it's interesting, you know, like you were saying, it was almost an accident when you were talking about taking your class with your wife. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think it was an accident. I think it was just something that just finally needed to manifest.
That's right. So. Yes, you know, these things come to us at the right and perfect times. So you always ask for the right perfect time in your life, because perhaps early on when I was in college and I was so focused on business, then I would have ignored it, would have tried to ignore it. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, and regarding, it's a funny story about your cat, in the fact that in the book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, I talk about how animals, they always find us. We never find them.
Yeah. Yeah,
no matter what it is, whether one shows up at your doorstep or you happen to be going to the grocery store and all of a sudden there's a, you know, pet adoption day next door, or a family member needs to leave town and you have to adopt their animal, or you go into a rescuer shelter somewhere and you say, "I'm going to get a Great Dane, that's the one I want," then all of a sudden the St. Bernard pulls at your heartstrings and there you go.
Right.
So they're always coming. They're always coming to our lives for, based on them finding us. But more importantly, what we uncover if we allow ourselves to is that animal comes to our life for a specific purpose. There's a reason for them to be there. Some of them are great. Yeah, some are on a path to be great teachers for you, or they're healers. You know, in a situation after going through a divorce or through a death in the family, these type of things, an animal will often show up as your healer to help you heal and put joy back into your life. So there's certain reasons that they come into your life, and they'll stay in your life until they fulfill that purpose. They work every day in the present moment to try to fulfill that purpose. And when they have fulfilled that purpose, they'll move on, either out of their body and make their transition, or they'll leave you to fulfill that purpose for someone else.
Right.
So there are specific reasons, and that's one of, in the book I'm trying to get, there's some wonderful techniques in there. I sort of peel back what is animal communications, how can you do it, how can you get back to your roots, make it very simple. It's not woogie boogie, it's not way out there stuff, it's very straightforward type of things. And then the latter part of the book, that second half, deals more with the common issues that if you have a dog or a cat, you're going to experience these things from time to time, and I'm going to give you some new tools, techniques, some tips to help improve those situations.
Right. Well, you have a chapter in here, which I bent the page down and highlighted parts about jobs for animals, and I never even occurred to me that a pet or, one of your pets would have a job, and what would that even look like? And I thought, oh, my gosh, it was so beautiful. So here's an example, not just for my cat, but my day job, quote-unquote day job, is at a hospital. I work at a children's pediatric hospital in the emergency department. I do administrative stuff. And they often have once or twice a week the therapy dogs that come in. And their sole purpose is to sit there and let people pet them. That's their job. They don't wag their tail, that because they're working, they don't wag their tail or run around or act all excited and happy and all that. They just sit there calmly and let the people pet them. And the woman that brings them in, she's so calm and so gentle, and she talks with the animals and lets them know that, no, you're working now, so let, you know, let so-and-so pet you or whatever. And they always ask for permission, and then they instruct the person before the child or the adult comes to the animal to pet them, instructs them, now they like to be pet on the head, or they like to be scratched behind the ears, or they, you know, whatever it is, because she's tuned into what this animal really likes. And these are rescue animals, if I remember correctly. And I thought, what a beautiful thing. These animals are working. They're fulfilled. And when they're done, I've seen them, like, they'll wag and they'll want to run around a little bit, just get some of that energy out, and then they're right back to working again. So I thought, what a beautiful gift that these animals have. And I thought, well, you know, I never thought about my cat having a job that, you know, he keeps part of my bed warm at night. And he does check on my boys. I've seen him walk through the house at bedtime, and he'll go into each of my son's rooms and check on the boys, and then he walks out again. And I thought, how beautiful is that? He is our little guardian. And I never considered that an animal would have to have a job or a task or something. And I'd love for you to expand on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we often think, when we know dogs have to have jobs to do.
Uh-huh.
And we tend to think that, though, as sort of like, you know, a working dog will pull the sled, or, you know,
right,
do the hiking things. You know, you should, when you go on a, if you got a larger dog especially, and you like to go out on hiking trails or out to the park, give them a little, a little harness where you can carry the water, and, you know, serve a purpose. Give them little jobs to do, keep them occupied. But this goes much deeper than that, because often they'll assign their own jobs, or there's a part of their purpose for being here, there's a hidden job under that. So just like your cat, you know, we always think of dogs, but cats have jobs to do, just like horses have jobs to do and all other animals have jobs to do. And your cat, you know, it's great that you tuned into that, because, you know, the job of the cat is to check in, make sure all is well, and to notify you if something is awry. There's a great story in the book. I have a client of mine that I was at a rescue fair. I often do animal rescue fairs where I'll be there to talk to the people, but I'll do short consultations, and then I give back the money to the rescue at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And during this particular rescue fair, she had just adopted this dog. It was one actually caught her husband's eye, and she's kind of unsure about it. It was kind of interior mix, and he was kind of pulling at the leash, and, you know, he wasn't walking and obeying her instructions and things of this sort. And so I talked to her about how to communicate with them, how to be very specific about what you're saying to them, using positive energy and positive words for him, telling him exactly what he needs to do, and why is this going to be a good thing for him. But more importantly, I got the very strong vision of him being a therapy dog. And I asked her, I said, if this has this dog gone through therapy training or anything, if that's where. She goes, oh, no goodness. He's been from place to place, to shelter to shelter, so I don't think he's done any of that. I said, well, he'll be great at it. And she looked at me and looked at the dog, looked at me and looked at the dog, and thought, well, wait a minute. I don't know about that, but I'm going to give it a try. And the long story short here is that he has thrived in an environment, and he's gone through a series of certifications for it to be a therapy dog, and has totally turned her life around. She has gone virtually, you know, 6 to 7 days a week. She is doing something with her dog, whether it's a children's reading program or it's at the nursing home or the Alzheimer's home. He's even played, you know, the dog in Annie at their local church production. He was just in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and he performed so well. And he's never had a formal training, as we know, you know, training session. He's just been communicated to. He's now allowed to thrive in the environment that he thrives in and do his job that he's meant to be doing. At the same time, it's turned her life totally around. Now she has a purpose, and she has a feeling of helping people through her dog, and she enjoys it so much. She's even printed up little, like, baseball cards, you know, little photo cards with her dog's information on the back and little stories on the back, and she passes them out to the children and people she sees. So it's a major shift in her life, and it was all because she took that advice and allowed her dog to fulfill its purpose, and by doing that, it also is helping her fulfill her purpose and filling her heart.
Oh, that is so, so cool.
Yeah,
I love that, just that simple understanding that pets need to have a role or a job or a task, because just like people, you know, get bored and they can sometimes get themselves into trouble, it's important to have a task or something that can be expected, a responsibility of some form. It, as simple as it is, like, I love the examples of the jobs that you gave with your own dogs, how one of your puppies, you'd pick her up and sometimes she'd drop her toy and your other dog just took it upon himself to pick up that toy and carry it to either upstairs or downstairs. I can't remember the exact details
downstairs
of your story, but yeah, so your other puppy was helping the other dog and they just decided that's their job. And I thought, that is so very cool, and that how animals have this consciousness about them that I think there are people that don't believe that exists. And it's like, unless you're a pet owner and you're really around it, I mean, it's there. The evidence is there, and it's pretty cool.
Well, it is. Well, and I think that, you know, like you said, pet owners, we're going to identify with our own animals and
right,
connect with them at a little bit deeper level. But I'm really encouraging people through this book, Talking with Dogs and Cats, to let's bond and connect with them at an even deeper level. Let's get an understanding, because they're a part of our life. They're as big a part of the household as any other person or any other animal. And, you know, animals are just as equal as people in the household as far as the number of animals and what they do and what they need and what the requirements are. It's in alignment with everybody else in your household. So why not try to understand them better? Why not try to connect with them better and build actually a bond and a relationship through communicating with them more effectively and realizing what their purpose is for being here? And in turn, they'll communicate and understand you better and help you fulfill whatever your purpose is as well.
Right.
And I think that's the critical part behind it all.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you go really into a lot of in-depth thing, like, you know, if your dog has excessive barking, they're barking at everything and everyone, how to work with the animal with that. Riding in the car, that was a big one there. I don't take my cat anywhere with me unless, you know, he's going to the vet. And he's actually pretty good about it, because I'm pretty proud of myself. Back in, before I even read your book, I would get out his cage a day or two before the event. I would tell him about it, and he'd get in the cage, and it's no big deal. He'd be totally fine, and he was fine with the car ride, because it's not even a mile, or it's like maybe 2 miles from my house, so it's not very far. But I know for other people, riding in a vehicle with their pets, for the pet, it's very stressful. And you spend time on that topic, on how to work with your animal so they are more relaxed, and you give them a job to do. And it's like all of this stuff, and I thought, I never considered that. You know, like you gave the example of it was a rescue puppy and a kitten. That was it. You that was driving to a TV studio to do a promotion thing, and both animals got sick in the back of the car on the way, and what you needed to do to get them cleaned up, but then how you prepared them for the return trip so they wouldn't get sick again. Can you share that story again?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was president of our local Humane Society, we were fortunate enough to have one day where we could come and bring a dog and or cat or both down to the Fox Studios and do a little adoption promotion down there. And so my wife and I had picked up the one little kitten. It was near October, so it was a little black cat, and we wanted to give it a chance to get adopted because, unfortunately, there are often stigmatisms about black-colored animals, and then animals, you know, cats, black cats in October, obviously with the Halloween celebrations, always have challenges getting adopted at that time. And, it's a misconception we're trying to work through and enlighten people. I've written many articles about this and how that should shift and change. But during this one, we had went down to the studios, and as we were pulling into about almost halfway down to the studios, we smelled a really foul smell. I mean, it was the worst smell I had ever smelled in my life. But we couldn't, you know, we were on the highway, so we had to get there and see what was going on. And when we pulled up and we got to the back where the crates were, sure enough, major bowel movements from the little kitten, and it was a mess. And we were, you know, going, we had to get the cats and dogs in there to get them adopted, you know, get them on TV. You know, TV wasn't going to hold up their show and for us to go in and clean the cat's behind. So,
right.
And at the same time, as soon as we pulled up and we felt the smelt the smell, and my wife collected up the black cat to take her into the restroom to get her cleaned up, as soon as we did that, the dog threw up. He couldn't handle the smell, so he threw up. So I had to collect the dog and get him all presentable and get him ready to go. And so on the way back, we get him all cleaned up, we do the event, and we get in the back of the crates and get in the back of the truck, or the SUV, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I explained to them that they did great work. You guys did great work today. I'm sure we're going to find you the right perfect forever homes. What I need you to do is lay down and take a nap. We've got about an hour drive to get back to where you're going to be staying. So I need you mm-hmm. to be comfortable and calm. And this is going to make you feel better and going to make me really happy. Mm-hmm. So we're talking mm-hmm. to them again. And I always encourage people to tell your animals very specifically where you're going, when you'll be back, and what are they to do. And then when you talk right. to them about an event, you tell them what the situation is, what they need to do, and why is this going to be a good thing for them? What's the benefit? What's the plus side? So it's just like talking to your children. There's right. nothing in it for them. They're going to be less than encouraged to fulfill what your wishes are. So there's got to right, be something right. in it for them. And so the right. trip came back. And we drove back, not a peep, not a problem, not a sound. Everything was great. Nobody was sick again. Everybody was wonderful. And as soon as we pulled in, we went in to see how things were going, and they said the phones were ringing off the hook. People wanting
Aww.
To dog, wanting to adopt this little cat. And they got
yeah.
Adopted quickly and found the right and perfect forever homes, and everything was great. And so in the book, when I talk about, you know, the back half of the book, we talk about common things that we're all going to encounter if we have
right.
dogs or cats, you know, like the cat missing the litter box, or how do you travel properly with dogs and cats, and how do you introduce a new person into the household? How do you introduce a new animal into the household? We go through each one of these, and what I'm accomplishing in the book is for you, the pet owners and lovers of the world, take all the knowledge that you know, mm-hmm. add on top of that all the training that you've read or trainers that you've worked with, and then take this other approach, this direct communication approach, this positive energy approach that to communicate with your animals that I'm providing, combine all those together, and you're going to have a greater success of solving those problems and encounters, or at least better understanding them, to put the methods in place to help improve that life and improve that relationship.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and there's another great story in there about a cat who had to travel for several hours going back and forth between the person's vacation home and their new home. And the cat would just meow the whole way, the whole trip, the whole time. And so I encouraged them to communicate, tell them, you know, where they're going, how long it would take them to get there, and that they should rest comfortably until they get there. And then I provide some, you know, tips. And I said, what kind of music does your cat like to listen to? She's like,
people wouldn't think of that.
Yeah, what are you talking about here? I said, well,
yeah.
Your cat, dogs, they do love certain types of music, and it's not always your type of music. So you may be a country music fan, but they may be putting up with Garth Brooks blaring in their background. So you don't know. You don't know. And so she tried it first. She thought, okay, well, some classical music would be the way to go because that's nice and relaxing and everything.
Yeah.
Cat continued to meow, meow, meow. Didn't work. So she
yeah.
contacted me again and said, well, that didn't work. I said, okay, do this. Change the channels. Every time you hear, you know, put on a certain type of music, if the cat calms down, great, and if it doesn't, move to the next channel.
Right.
And sure enough, we got to the point where she found the exact type of music that the animal liked, and the whole trip, cat rested comfortably, no issues.
Really?
The whole trip back
what
home,
kind of music?
Same thing. That was,
yeah.
I believe it was like a 50s sort of jazz type music. You know, it was real upbeat, a lot of drums, these type of things.
Interesting.
That's what the cat liked. Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, my cat, actually, I listen to KPLU here in Seattle. It's, you know, jazz and stuff, and my cat actually hangs out with me quite a bit. I never even considered that my cat would like music. I also play a CD at night for me. It's just of rain. I live in Seattle, and I have to listen to A City of Rain. I know it's crazy. But it's just, you know, it's white noise. It just helps me sleep. And he curls up with me. It's, I never even put two and two together. That is so fun. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want
to – yeah. Yeah, real quick, when we're talking about music, you know, when we're listening to the music that we like, that is a form of meditation. That takes us out of our conscious mind into our subconscious space where we can relax and we can feel positive and feel good about things. So listening to music is a form of meditation, and I have no doubt that your cat tunes into how you feel positive and how you feel more alive and energetic and calm, and your energy's flowing smoothly by listening to the type of music that you like. But you also, you're in the fact you do have to realize what they like as well. So for us, if we turn on new age music of any sort, it's night time. Even when we're driving down the road, our little schnauzer, our little toy schnauzer that we have, she yips and yaps all the way until we put our new age music on, and then she just calms down and life's good. Yeah.
I love it. Well, it's calming. It is calming music. So speaking of calming, I wanted to spend some time discussing an upcoming holiday. It's the 4th of July. Lots of fireworks, lots of noise. I want to discuss that with you because, like, with my cat, I do my best to make sure he's indoors. I'm going to actually be out of town that weekend, so I've been discussing this with my cat, letting him know I've been using your suggestions because we're going to be gone, and I want to know, you know, I want him to know that he's safe. I've already made arrangements. Someone's going to be here to take care of him and be around the house, so he's, you know, not stressed over the noise with the fireworks. But I would love for let's spend some time on that topic about the fireworks, about loud noises, how to, you know, prepare our animals for that and what steps we can do to help them so they're calm through that whole lovely noise fest.
Absolutely. You know, that is a big – loud noises in general, where we're talking about thunderstorms, where we're talking about fireworks, these type of things are definitely something that triggers a lot of animals, dogs and cats alike. Mm-hmm. And I first of all, I encourage people to not bring their dogs with them to the fireworks display. I can't count how many times I've been to a fireworks display and there's their dogs and everything seems fine until the fireworks happen. And then they end up calling me because their animal is lost and I have to help them locate their animal because I do a lot of work with missing animals. That's the first encouragement. But the second thing you want to do is start communicating with them. So you're doing a brilliant job. So congratulations, big kudos, big nice tennis clap for you for recognizing the fact that, you know, communicating with your animal. Because leaving the house, whether it's for a short period of time, going to work or going on vacation, they already know about it. You've already been thinking about it. You've already been talking about it. And they think it's happening today. They don't know any different unless you're explaining it to them when you're going and when you'll be back and what are they to do where you're gone. So you do have to prep them ahead of time when you're going to be leaving the house. And you do have to prep them ahead of time if this festivity you know is going to happen and you know the city that you live in or the county you live in has a fireworks display that you can hear from home or your neighbors like to let off the fireworks and it's going to startle your dog or your cat. So start talking to them in advance and letting them know what that situation is, what they need to do, and why is this going to be a good thing for them? Why is this going to be tolerable? Why, if they stay calm, why this is going to work out well for them? So that's sort of the first thing. You got to get in your communication state, start doing it early and often, because if you're already thinking about it or you've already planned it or you've been verbally talking about it, they think it's happening today. So you're going to see some anxiety start kicking in right away.
Yeah.
And then the second part of it is, go back to what I call some more like training techniques, some of the things I have found that's worked well over the years. So, for instance, there's a wonderful product called a Thunder Shirt. And a Thunder Shirt's just a nice, cozy wrap that's Velcroed in that you can wrap around your dog. I'm not sure if they have a Thunder Shirt for cats, but if you don't want to go with the formal Thunder Shirt, you can go with a small, tightly fitted shirt, something that has your scent on it, and place it on your dog or cat ahead of time before it's going to happen. So it works like a swaddling cloth and gives them extra comfort ahead of time. Tune into their favorite music. Find some favorite music, as we talked about before, and allow that to play gently near the place that they like to stay whenever there's fireworks going on or loud noise going on. Mm-hmm. Put on a little table fan to provide some white noise, or maybe even your rain music would be good, something that's consistent and there's no interruptions in it. Provides just a nice little white noise. And most importantly, you want to provide them a safe haven and a safe zone, as I call it. And a safe zone is anywhere they like to be in the house that they feel comfortable. So if you find them that every time it storms or every time there's fireworks going on that they like to run into the closet or they run underneath the bed or wherever it may be, or maybe they lay on the tile floors because, you know, animals can feel the barometric pressure of the storms and of things going on. They can identify sounds a lot quicker than we can. So sometimes they like the cool spaces or staying away from static electricity if it's a storm coming up. So find out whatever their safe zone is and encourage them to go into the safe zone. And you can use that word. This is your safe zone, or this is your sweet cave or your nice place, whatever you want to label it. Be consistent, label it something, and encourage them to go there. Mm-hmm. That's one, you know, they need to have a place where it's their crate or under the bed or in the closet or wherever they feel comfortable. Allow them to be in that space, and then set your worries away. Set the negative energy away. Don't worry about it. You know, often people will, when there is loud noises, our natural reaction is go into our motherly state and grab our dogs and sort of cuddle them, or grab our cats and cuddle them up and say, it's okay, baby, it's okay, baby, it's okay, baby. And then the whole time we're thinking to ourselves, when's that storm going to leave? When's that fireworks going to get over with? It's got to get over with soon. Right. I'm worrying about that fire. And our worry and our negative energy start to have a negative impact on our animals, so it makes it worse.
Right, right. You know, I don't think, go ahead.
No, I'd say I had a workshop this weekend, and I uncovered that the animal, that her dog actually was very, very afraid of storms. And as I continued to connect with the dog and talk to the dog was telling me that, no, not me, her. That's the words I got, not me, her. And come to find out, I said, well, what's your opinion of storms? Do you worry about them at all, or do you think? She goes, yeah, I'm terrified of them. Actually, I do hide in the closet myself, and I've been that way since I was a child. I don't know why, I just am. And then, of course, when my dog's, you know, scared of them, then, you know, it makes it doubly bad. And I said, well, your dog wants to be with you during those storms, not for her purpose, but for your purpose. She's there to calm you down. You think you're calming her down, and it's the opposite. You're making it worse. So she's trying to calm you down. In turn, though, you both feel better about it. And it was like a light switch that came on. It's like I never even considered it. I never even thought that. I never thought that my emotions or feelings or thoughts impacted my animal to that degree, which they do.
You know, it's such a God, it's so fascinating to learn about that the animals do think they can communicate. Now, about a week or so ago, I saw a video, I think it was on YouTube or something, about a woman that was talked to some big game cat. And this is before I had learned about, you know, read your book. And it was really interesting because she was called in. She was an animal communicator, and she was called in where these people had rescued this large black panther from, it was from a circus or something. I can't remember. He had been severely abused. And he would just growl and snarl at anybody that would come by his enclosure, his night enclosure, and he would never go out into the open. And they were concerned about him because they wanted to help him, but they didn't know how to help him. So they brought in this woman that communicated with him, and it turns out he didn't like his name because it reminded him of being, you know, in that horrible situation. And then he, what was it? There was some other really interesting things. And he had asked the owners, what happened to the cubs? Where are the cubs? Where are the kit? You know, the not his cubs, but another pair of other animals that he was concerned about when they were being rescued because they had been separated. And once they were able to communicate that with him, he felt more at ease. And then they changed his name. And then he finally came out of the enclosure and started, you know, just enjoying life. And they had to reassure him that his entire purpose was not to perform anymore. His purpose, his job now is just to enjoy his life. And that took tremendous stress off of this cat's shoulders. And I'm listening to this thinking, one would never think of that. No, I you know, how often have we really taken the time to think about what is the animal feeling? Because, you know, some people believe that animals don't have feelings, and I'm like, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Try dealing with a cat that's pissed off. They have feelings. But I thought it was such a beautiful story. And then when I learned about your work and read your story, and I thought, this is really, really powerful, because not only did the quality of life of that beautiful cat improve because someone, they figure out how to communicate, and then this couple learned how to do it, like what you're doing. They took a I don't remember the person's name that was teaching. It was in Australia somewhere. And it was really, really beautiful to see that cat come out of its enclosure and start living life and doing what they do, and they felt safe. And that was the biggest takeaway that I got from that, that this beautiful creature felt safe and they didn't feel threatened or hurt anymore. And it was such a loving gift that these people were able to do, to give this cat, you know, a place to live out its life and not feel that stress and that anxiety and that hurt. And you know, when we can do that with our own pets, like, you know, like my cat, he was a rescue, and then we call him, the neighborhood nicknames him the bipolar cat, because one minute he'll bang up against your leg and want you to pet him, and the next second he's hissing. So it's like, I don't know what that's about, Zeke, but I'm going to give you your space. But
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the key behind you know, communicating with them. You know, in the story you just shared, you know, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And it would have been I wouldn't say equally as wonderful, but it would have been a great story if that couple would have adopted that cat and provided a great place to be peaceful and restful and safe and get food. But unless you uncover what they're thinking and what they need and answer those questions for them, only at that point will it provide them pure comfort, and you'll see their personality, their true personality come out, and you'll see them become at ease with everything around them. And it's simple things like that. I've worked with clients that I've had horses that constantly cribbed, you know, chewed on the wood and chewed on their stalls, and come to find out it was a simple thing where they were put in a pasture that they didn't like, and they were in a stall where they couldn't see where everybody was coming in and out of the barn. So by simply moving them to a different stall with a better advantage point for seeing and putting them in the pasture with the rest of the horses, it solved its problem. It was that straightforward. You know, I've worked with all kinds of different animals in wildlife sanctuaries. I've worked with wild animals. I've worked with zoos and aquariums, and each one are unique, and each animal is unique. And yes, certain breeds and certain types of animals have their certain things they do. You know, as we know, there are certain things within them that you're going to find that are typical within the breed. But it goes much deeper than that, because they all have their own unique personality. So you can have, I had two schnauzers at one point, brothers from the same litter. They looked totally different, but they were born and raised together and actually made their transition not too far apart. But their personalities and how to communicate with them and how to connect with them and how to do things for them, it was night and day. One was very tense and very, you know, unsure of himself, and we had to constantly reinforce him with positive praise and helping him understand what was going on. The other one, it was a simple, you explain it once, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. I don't have a care in the world. And they were from the same bloodline, everything the same. So it's just like siblings that you have. You know, you can be raised the same way. You can be in the same household. But when it comes down to it, you have your own unique personality, and you've got to learn to work with that. And sometimes it can be as simple as just having a conversation with them, tell them what the situation is, what they need to do, and why is this going to be a good thing for them. Put their minds at ease. Whatever they're willing to share back with you, whether it's feelings or emotions or sensations or colors, whatever it is that you receive back from them, you trust it. You go with that gut instinct, as we call it. You know, we go with that mother's instinct and go with that feeling and trust it. And you'll find out that whatever you receive from them is going to be true.
Right, right. So we've got just a few minutes left of our show, and there was one question that I did want to ask. It's so people are, you know, listening to the show, and let's say they want to look for someone local or they want to contact you, you know, to work with you, because I think you do it also via Skype and phone, or I can't remember your details there. But what kind of questions should someone ask when working with a reputable animal communicator? I mean, what should they be looking for?
Right. Well, there's some wonderful sites out there that you can use. Obviously, you can contact me directly by going to my website, which is wagging-tales.com, T-A-L-E-S, So wagging-tails.com. And you can find out more about me there, my interviews, articles been written by me and about me. There's all kinds of videos out there of animals I worked with. So there's a lot of things there. And on there, there's also a code of ethics, you know, things that I try to follow. And so when you're looking for a communicator, whether you work with me or someone else, there's several things you want to look for. First of all, you know, you have to find one that resonates with you. You know, it's just like anything
right.
else. When you meet a person, whether it's in a business environment or a personal environment, you have to find someone you have a connection with, that you feel confident with, that you can trust, you know, that you feel good is going to respect you as the human companion and respect your animal, and in turn provide the information that you need and set forth a plan to help you with situations you may have. So I think that's the
right.
first and foremost thing you need to do. You do also have to realize that this is a business. You know, this is,
right.
in my case, this is my sole livelihood, you know.
Right.
In addition to writing books, and I write for numerous pet magazines, and I host a, you know, nationally syndicated radio show myself. And so all these things help, you know, put the roof on our heads. But, you know, it is a business. And so you want someone that is running it like a business, someone you can
mm-hmm.
trust, because you're going to be paying for their services, and you have to feel confident that they're going to fulfill what they promised and handle it in a business-like situation. I think, you know, there are several other things you really typically want to look for, and in the book I talk about it, and on my website as well, wagging-tails, I talk a little bit more detail about it. But I think those are the first and foremost things, because this, you know, this very well should and could be a long-term relationship that you have with this communicator. I do a lot of work, with, as I mentioned before, with missing pets and helping locate missing animals and hopefully reuniting them with their human companions or their caretakers. And in return, whatever the outcome is, if they felt good about that situation and feel good about working with me, they'll often turn to me again for problems they're having, physical, emotional, mental challenges they're having with their animals, to help to see if I can communicate with them and connect with them. And each and every time I do that, you know, I'm connecting with the animals and getting the information and sharing it with them, and then setting forth a game plan based on what you provide me and what I've received from the animals. We set forth some methods and measures to help improve or solve those challenges. But at the end of the day, I'm also telling you what you need to do, because once I hang up the phone, if you're not following through with the plan that we put into place, then it's not going to do anybody any good. If you're not going to continue to communicate and work with your animals, then, you know, it's not not serving its purpose.
No, and it's kind of, it's a waste of time, too, because it's, you know, your time is valuable as well, and it's like, I don't know, the old story goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So
Absolutely.
It's like, if people, you know, if you want this information, you know, you do have to do the work. It's not just on the animal. It's a two-way street. It's better communication. It's like couples therapy. You got to do the work, you know, for the whole thing. So we've only got a couple minutes left. Again, please visit Tim's website at talkingwithdogsandcats.com. I've also got a link on my website with a attachment for the book so you can order it. So, Tim, there's one last question I want to ask you, and just whatever comes off the top of your head. What would you suggest to our listeners to empower their lives right now?
To empower their lives is the thing that I always stress, whether we're talking about working with the animals or whether it's your own life and mission with your family or your business life, you know, your profession, is learn to trust yourself. Trust what you're receiving. Trust your instincts. You know, follow those gut feelings. Follow your path. Follow your purpose. And I think that's the key thing behind it all. You know, we're all here for a purpose. Animals are here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. The challenge comes in the fact that, you know, animals had a past, they have a present, and they have a future just like we do. But the animals live in the present moment, and they try to fulfill that purpose every single day, and they're very clear on what their purpose is for being in your life or being in this world. Unfortunately, us humans get so wrapped up in our past, and we hold it up like a golden egg, like it's something to be proud of, whether it was good or bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in return, we worry so much about our future that we can't live in that present moment. And, you know, we spend thousands of dollars in therapy to try to figure out, why am I here? Who am I? What's my purpose? Where if
right.
you just calm down and relax and sort of live an animal's life, a dog or a cat's life, and realize that I'm in the present moment, I'm going to allow energy to flow. I'm going to let the universe decide what direction I need to go, and then just follow that. And I think you'll be much happier and be a great place.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for being on my show today, Tim. I really enjoyed it. Everyone, please go out and get a copy of Talking with Dogs and Cats, Joining the Conversation to Improve Behavior and Bond with Your Animals. Thank you so much, everyone. And just remember, all healing and empowerment begins from within, and I need your help to do that. Please go to my link for projectempowerment.info and favorite this show. Leave a message or contact me direct at KathleenMMilliken.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Everyone, thank you so much again, Tim, and have the most amazing day, everyone. Bye-bye.